you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the big show just underway. It's Barry, Nick, Joel in the studio on a rain-soaked Monday in the big city. Kicked around quite a bit in hour number one. Got a little sportsy, I guess. UFC, little Astros. Hour number three will dedicate completely to Carmelo Anthony. Other than that, we're good, right?
Yeah. Are we all hour number three?
I mean, Luke Mbamute, I'm sure he'll squeeze his
way. Oh, yeah.
You've got a special guest on the horn at 2:30, so in a half hour.
Justin Liddell will join us ahead of his UFC fight July 22nd in Germany, so that'll be cool. Get his thoughts on that and
it's
the Derek
fight
Lewis
night
fight.
In Germany?
Yeah. You know, that's the other thing, and I don't want to skip Sean, so we got to get to him, but did you see that the 25-year anniversary of the UFC is November 10th, and they're doing it in Denver, which is where it started, but they're doing it on a fight night. It's not even a pay-per-view. Like, why?
I don't know.
Your
why
girl's getting inducted, right?
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Booed.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you're doing a fight night. That better be one badass fight night card, which is going to be great for the fans because it'll be free, usually.
I don't know. My only guess is perhaps because of the contract, when they sign a contract, they have so many fights. But they don't set
the card's not
advance.
Made yet. Yeah, the card's not made yet, and they have a pay-per-view the week before. Just move the pay-per-view up a week to November 10th and do it during the week. Maybe they're just worried if it's on, what is November 10th? Is that a weekday? Maybe that's what they're worried about? They're worried that they're not going to sell enough pay-per-views on a Wednesday or whatever the hell it is.
I'm thinking
November 10th is a Saturday.
Or maybe it's because they don't want to hype it up like a UFC 200 and it becomes like this terrible card.
As bad as their pay-per-view sales have been, what they need to be doing is hyping it up by bringing in some of the old school Chuck Liddells and some of those cats and letting them, you know, some nostalgia. As part of the 25-year look back on the sport.
Does anybody even remember Chuck anymore, though?
Chuck Liddell?
Like the younger? I think the older, we do. I don't think younger kids even care.
Because, they're talking, who's he going to fight? Tito Ortiz?
Who, Chuck Liddell?
Yeah, they're talking about
Golden,
as part of
Golden
that deal.
Boy
the
thinking about opening up his own MMA.
Liddell and Tito Ortiz. I'm like,
nobody wants to
why
see
would
that.
You want to do that?
No.
Yeah, he's going to fight. Yeah.
It's like watching OU Mike fight.
Yeah, but I'm saying they could bring back Tank Abbott. They could bring
like
back
Hall of Famer, big names, like you're saying.
Yeah, and do some of that and hype it up. And I mean,
Royce Gracie.
Yeah, yeah, all that. That would be
that's
great.
That's what I was going to mention. You're right. With that, we got a couple of phone calls waiting as well. Let's go Sean first. Sean's been waiting the longest. Sean, you want to talk a little AAU? What's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much. I just want to just call and say what's up, guys. I always listen, try to call in every week. I'm just seeing what y'all thought about the Rockets summer league. I don't know if you guys talked about that yet, but I'm going to see if you guys had any standouts, anybody that you guys thought that was looking pretty good. You think anybody that you've seen so far as well could potentially get on the team and make the roster and make a splash? I'm hoping maybe that kid, I think I may say his name wrong, I may not know his name, the kid from U of H, Gray, I want to say it is.
Yeah, Rob Gray. He actually didn't play the first game, played yesterday.
But I just want to get y'all's opinion on all that, man. I've always listened to y'all, and like I said, you know, I think we play, tomorrow too, so just see what y'all are thinking on that, and I'll shut up and listen.
Appreciate you,
Sean. It,
man. Thanks a lot, bud.
Just quick thoughts on this, but the draft picks look good. The kid from SC looks like he might turn into being something, although he's already comparing himself to the likes of Dwayne Wade, which he needs to slow down on. Ooh. But he looked good yesterday. Rob Gray didn't play in the first game, played yesterday, got some run. I'm not going to go like Kurt Lowe and think that this guy is the next coming of greatness, but at least it's a great story for now. And the guy you really have to pay attention to, if that a guy could play a role on this team next year, Chinee Iwuanuku from Louisville, because of the fact that you're going to lose your third string center for the most part to free agency. So at least there's a roster spot for him. He's been paying his dues in the D League, and he's a guy that, you know, very well could be a guy that they're going to at least put on the 15-man roster.
Yeah, and I think a guy to keep an eye on too, which first, Sean, I've not watched a single game of Summer League, but I try to keep up with the bullet points. But Joe Chi is a guy that you should probably keep an eye on, that I think they're going to start looking to expand his role on this team next year. So
it's another good call.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He needs to gain some weight, though.
He does, and they will. They'll put him on that Clint Capela diet. They'll have him in the gym every single day, which he's been doing anyways.
Yeah, my buddy's his
trainer.
Remember
how skinny Capela was, though?
Yeah, he was pretty skinny.
My buddy's his trainer, and he works hard in the gym. The one thing I like more than anything else, because, look, you got to remember, there are guys that no matter how much you want to have an easy tag in the drive-through window of Whataburger and get these guys thickened up and fattened out, that there's certain guys like Hasheem Thabeet. You're just never going to be able to put weight on them.
Yeah. Kevin Durant's a guy that never.
Good point.
When he came out, that was one of my worries. Was damn, is he going to be big enough to play in the NBA? Like,
but Joe Chi has already started to fill out a little bit more. But more so than anything else, his confidence level. The other night on the break, he pulled up from three without hesitation and dropped it. And I've said from the get go, the one thing the kid can do is shoot.
Yep.
It's just you got to kind of evaluate how much of that 7 foot frame you're going to get out of him. Is he going to be a big man, or is he truly going to be a 7 foot Matt Bullard-ish type Ryan Anderson type player? But the news is he's progressing, at least putting on weight, making shots, so that's good.
Well, that's good, because he never looked comfortable on an NBA floor.
Yeah.
He has not looked comfortable yet.
It's a big stage. It's a big stage, and it's a culture shock too.
Right.
Remember.
My point being is I can see him being comfortable enough to stop and shoot a three-pointer in summer league.
Yeah, but that's, not.
Yeah. He was not doing that even in trash minutes. In the NBA when the game didn't matter.
And you'd go to a game and people would be cheering for that dude to shoot.
I wanted him to make a three-pointer so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. I was dying for him to make a three-pointer.
The fans were too. Every time he get the ball, the whole place would go nuts with, like, you know, in
Rob
garbage
Gray,
time.
Though, I felt like he could have used some European experience, Joel. I don't know. I don't know.
Here's the thing. And I think Barry and I touched on this a little bit when you were out last week. But the big thing with Rob Gray is it's got to be the right system. And I'm not sure the Rockets system is going to be the right fit for Rob Gray, because he's not going to get a lot of time. He's not going to get a lot of opportunities to show his wares and say, I belong in this league. But if he could get with a team that might just open the doors and say, hey, we're going to give you lots of minutes in the summer league, because he's playing behind it with the Rockets, a couple of second round draft picks that they really want to analyze. But if he's with the right team that just throws him out there and plays 30 minutes a game or 25 minutes a game, you can say, hey, this guy's got enough to work with where I think he can make an NBA roster.
Yeah.
So he at least just has to find the right system.
I think this was a favor, Nick. You can appreciate this. The U of H connection with Tillman and some of those guys. I think they did a favor to get him on a roster. Now, maybe that, but Summer League, hey, you're always auditioning. Hopefully someone sees him and says, this guy has enough for us to want to take a look at him too. And then he lands in the D League, and that's what, or the G League, and that's when he can really make a difference. Tarik Black, by the way, free agent. That's why he's going to go away, and that's why I think Iwuanuku is going to be a guy that's going to get a look.
Okay.
So. Underhanded free throws.
Get more of that.
I saw a tweet come out. I don't know. It was just very random. Somebody was like, what the hell? Did I just see a granny shot? That's dudes that just don't know what's going on, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, whether you call it the Rick Barry or the potty pitch, either way, he does that from the free throw line because, hey, he realizes he can't shoot them regularly.
And Brandon, we see you. We'll get you after this break, promise.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll on, back with more. It is The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
Jump around. Down.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep. Hour number two of the big show. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's a rainy Monday in Houston. So what else do you got to do but listen to us and participate as we continue to roll on? We do appreciate those kind of things. Anything you want to throw in there from the electronic media before we get Brandon in on the show?
Yeah, a couple of texts. Somebody said, it's called selling a fight, Barry. Ever seen a boxing press conference? This is a combat sport, not team sport. Creating a personal vendetta is what combat sports has been about for 100 years. Tom Brady doesn't have to sell tickets to a football game. Fighters, wrestlers, and boxers do. I'm okay with guys that want to hype a fight, and you know Conor McGregor has been good at that. But there's also the different. At least fool me. I mean, at least you know when you had Diaz and McGregor, you really felt like those dudes hated each other. You can't have Daniel Cormier come out and say things like, "Well, gosh, we've been such good friends for so long. He's taken pictures with my kids. We used to, you know, we came up together in wrestling," and then expect me to believe that he got paraded down to the front and that, oh, it was all an accident and I just called him out. I just thought, hey, he's here, I'm going to call him out, and then he comes. It was all planned. Don't try to pretend like it wasn't.
And I think that's a part of the reason. The people that have been following the sport or following the sport long enough to know when something is planned or not, they're going to call it out.
Exactly.
It's just normal, especially when they appreciate the discipline that comes along with mixed martial arts.
We were
arts.
Talking about Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw. Not planned. Those two dudes genuinely hate each other. It's a good fight, and it's a fight that people want to see. It's a rematch. It's this, that, and the other.
Yeah, because TJ Dillashaw used to fight in their camp, left the camp. There's some bitterness and awkwardness there. There's a real genuine hate factor.
And there. I'm okay with using that to hype the fight, to sell the fight, put together the video packages, let them push each other with Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. Genuine disregard and dislike for each other. They tackled each other on the stage and fought before the fight and all that. I'm fine with all that theatrics like that because I don't think that that was planned. And if it was, they did a good enough job of hiding it and not letting me see that it was obviously planned and fake like wrestling. So, no, I don't agree with you that just because it's a combat sport that they can come out here and fake shove and do all that. Because I'm telling you right now, if in real life he does that and shoves Cormier like that, you think Cormier is just going to walk up and get the mic and talk? No. He's shooting in. He's taking him down, trying to beat his ass, because that's what fighters do.
Yeah. I mean, Cormier even pushed him back when everybody was around. But
yeah, well.
But I honestly agree with Barry in the sense that I have no problem with him calling out. I also don't have no problem with Brock coming in, even if it seems staged. It's kind of up to Brock.
They've done this
being
before.
Being a WWE guy.
But they've done this before, and I'm fine with that. They've done that where the guy sitting ringside is the guy that gets the winner. And then they bring him in the cage, yep. And there's a face-off. I'm fine with that because that's been done before. But what it was Brock Lesnar, you want some of me? What? And then he comes in and shoves it. Get out of here with that.
Hey. Now, I've asked you guys about this before. The one time that I did see it up close and really personal here, the one thing that was peculiar to me was the fact that these guys come off as so intensely hateful towards each other in the ring, and then after the bout, you see them behind the scenes, and they're hugging and handshaking, and it's all good in the neighborhood. And that, to me, is weird, but I do understand the marketing aspects of it, where you have got to hype a fight, and you've got to get into all that.
Yeah, I think the dynamic is you're in a fight, and it's real, and it's not fake. And so part of getting yourself mentally ready to fight a guy is you develop, whether it's real or not, you develop a genuine dislike for that guy to be able to fight him. Now, some guys don't have to do that. They go in, they're professional, they do their job. Those are usually the guys, I mean, it happened on this card where these guys genuinely, the Felder fight, these guys really liked each other and they were cool with each other. It's like, oh, you steak. Okay, cool. And some guys can separate that and know that this is a sport, but the sport happens to be punching you in the face and not letting you punch me in the face. But at the end of the day, it's still a sport, just like in basketball where you shake hands when it's over a football. Some other guys need that aggression and that anger to fuel them. Yeah,
BJ Penn is that guy. He kind of had to hate you to fight you. Ronda Rousey was kind of like that for a
long
time.
I've interviewed Derek Lewis before, and I don't know if it was on this show or another one, but he said in the past that sometimes, like the story a long time ago, if you weren't familiar, he went to jail and he ended up fighting a guy. The reason he went to jail is because he was fighting a guy that I think was in the KKK or something like that. So he says sometimes when he's facing a guy, if there's no genuine dislike, he's like, I remember one time he was fighting a white dude, and he goes, I just, in my mind, I just keep picturing him calling me the N-word. And that's how he said it joking, but that's how he was getting himself typed up. He's like, yeah, that was that dude. He was calling me an N-word. And That, I mean, these guys do whatever it takes for them to get to that point to where they need to go in there and do what they do.
Because I'll be honest, the reason why I ask that too is because it annoys the hell out of me in the NBA when all these guys are like buddy-buddy chummy while the game's going on and stuff and their opponents.
Yeah.
Like, I used to always like KG because of the fact that Kevin Garnett, once they went between the lines, he would step on your throat and kick you in the grapes in order to win a game. There's not enough of that going on in the NBA. And I, having really felt the intensity in what goes on in UFC, that surprised me when I saw that. That's why I threw it out
there. You know, being around it and covering it as much as I did here locally, I can tell you that guys genuinely don't like each other in fights, and that's going to happen. But at the end of the fight, it's rare that you'll see that hatred continue because both guys know what they've put into getting ready for that fight, and the fact that, and the level of respect that it, that you have for an opponent, regardless, because you're taught that as part of martial arts. You're taught to respect your opponent. You don't have to like them, but you respect them. And then at the end of the fight, most mixed martial artists can put aside whatever it was and shake each other's hand, win or lose, because it's a respect thing. Now, some guys just genuinely hate each other, and they're the ones that won't shake hands, and they don't want to have anything to do with the other guy. And I get that too. But I, it's been my experience over the past 8 years in watching it and covering it that most guys can separate the two at the end of the day.
Fair enough. We want to get Brandon in here because we got a guest coming up. So let's get Brandon before the break. Brandon, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How was your weekend?
All good, man. How was yours?
Good. So I'm happy to hear Nick's back. I'm glad you were able to come out of the closet with your rainbow flag for a weekend and not feel any hatred for it.
What do you want to talk about, Brandon?
You just keep going, Brandon.
The best producer in the history, this ad paid for by Nick Sherrara. So I'm interested because it's funny because Friday I'm sitting in a bar and I'm watching the game and I start laughing when Mariznick makes this layout catch because I was like, damn it, that's exactly what Barry was talking about. So then I wake up on Saturday and I get ready for the game and I see that he's been sent down.
Yeah.
And they call up Mr. Tucker, of course. I mean, he was, I guess you would call it killing it, or I guess he was doing good in AAA. And I'm curious, they called him up before the break. Tell me something I don't know, Paris Hilton. Is that, does that mean we lose a year of control of him?
No, that's why they waited this long. Part of the reason why they waited is there's a certain deadline for each season and each guy. And I think his was, I want to say April or May, and most of them are May. I think it's mid-May for most.
It's in that neighborhood, right. That's why guys don't start the year on the roster.
But I think, too, that you had to see, you know, there was, this gives him a small sample size and then the All-Star break to kind of absorb what he's seen so far and have a few days off to kind of process it and work on whatever he might need to work on. So it kind of makes sense.
And, Brandon, let me add to just what everything that Barry said, and that is, the other thing is, you're at home this entire time.
Yep.
So you're going to be in the surroundings of fans that have your back, that are pulling for you. You saw it happen in his first game. With everything he did, they were cheering. And the fact that they're not playing the greatest of teams and opponents, so he gets his feet wet. Because you remember Bregman started his first year 0-18, struggled to get out of the gates fast. Here, you're at home against a little lesser of talent, and then he is going to be a member of the Futures All-Star game. So from there, he gets to get all that positive energy and that feel for being celebrated as being one of the up and coming prospects in the game, and he builds some confidence. He feels better. He's got some major league parks, some major league pitching, some home games, and then the Astros get to really evaluate, is this a guy that we can count on for this year, or this is a guy that's got all the tools that we need to keep building on and he's going to be for future years?
Yeah, I was thinking it might have been another, you know, situation like with Springer, because they called up Bregman kind of quick and then they call up Tucker kind of quick for what they've done in the past, relatively speaking. And I think that maybe it was just another Springer situation where they didn't want to, because everybody knows George is not happy with how long he had to sit down there in the minor league.
Well, that was also an older regime too. That was the previous regime that let Springer sit down there too long.
And it was at a time when the team was really bad. So you knew that there was a great opportunity for him to be up with the big club, and they still wouldn't do it, and that's what was frustrating too.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, appreciate the call, Brandon, as always. Thank you. I was kind of giggling at that too, because the point was, is you keep a guy like Mariznick on your roster to make those defensive plays late in games, which is exactly why he was put in and exactly what he did. And it was catch of the year for me. It was amazing.
And you saw what we talked about, too, the locker room aspect. Everybody came, got his back. It was great. And then the next day I thought about it and went, God, we just talked about this and he's gone.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though, is you're going to bring up Tucker at one point. Who are you going to send down? Are you going to send down Kemp? I mean, you look at that roster, there was really only one guy that's been struggling at the plate that you're going to send down, and it, unfortunately, was Jake Mariznick. So, all right, guys, I want to tell you right now, Steelhouse Poker Club, man, these are the guys that brought you the $100,000 opening weekend tournament, which ended up being the largest opening weekend in the history of poker in Texas. They are back, bigger, better than ever. They've got a $500,000 guaranteed tournament coming up in October. Super excited for that. And now remember, that $100,000 guaranteed tournament, the prize pool ended up being almost $250,000. So this $500,000 prize pool is going to be bigger than ever. And I'm excited to see if that prize pool might possibly grow higher, just like the $100,000 tournament did. Best way to get in and get a chance at a seat in that $500,000 tournament is to get out to Steelhouse Poker Club and play their cash games. Play their daily cash games. It's a great way to win a seat in the $500,000 tournament. They have games that start at 2 p.m. They last all day long. You can get there at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So you got time to get off work and get out there, get you some food. It's BYOB. They've got mixers for you if you need those. Sometimes they have taco trucks out front. But no reason not to get out there and play. They give away a ton of money every week. $75,000 guaranteed payouts Monday through Sunday. They've got single day tournaments available every day except Saturday. Don't forget Friday lingerie night. Not a reason. I mean, you don't want to miss that, right? You got gambling. You got poker. I mean, you've got TV sports on TVs. There's 20 tables. There's lingerie. There's mixers. There's food. That's a perfect Friday night. Get out there. It's I-45 North and West Road. If you're coming from the north side, just exit West Mount Houston and U-turn. Super easy to get to right there off the freeway. It's Steelhouse Poker Club. For more information on that $500,000 guaranteed tournament, check out SteelhousePoker.com. That's SteelhousePoker.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock when the Blitz takes over. As promised, I'm excited about this. We are joined right now by UFC fighter, and I'll say Houston's own. I know I'm taking a little liberty there, Justin, but Justin Ledet joins us, man. Thank you for joining us, by the way. I really appreciate it. I know you're super busy.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me on, man. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, so you're getting ready to head over now for a fight that's going on in 2 weeks. Does that throw you off at all? I mean, this will be your fourth fight in the UFC. Is it different having to travel this much in advance of a fight?
Nah, actually, I choose to travel this much in advance because I hate flying, and I got to knock all that jet lag off, and I got to get acclimated to the time change and everything. So really, this is my choice. I choose to fly over there. It's a lot earlier than most fighters.
Okay, so now you've got the fight coming up. How much? It's interesting because watching this pay-per-views this past weekend, I was seeing some guys that say they don't study at all. They don't. How much studying of your opponent do you do prior to a fight?
I do pretty much no studying. Pretty much all my trainers do that studying. And I just kind of get in there, listen to them, and then I just see what I see when I get in the cage.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So I guess they make it easier for you because a guy like him that you're facing, has he had many UFC fights?
No, just one, right? Yeah, just one other one.
Yeah, so, I mean, does that make it more difficult? I mean, does it bother you that he hasn't had as many UFC fights, or does it make it more difficult for you to train?
Nah, not at all, man. We're all just fighters, and I pretty much take any fight they pretty much give to me. I've been trying to fight all year. This is my first fight since my last fight last year in September. So I'm just trying to fight as much as possible, and they're definitely making it rough on me trying to get these fights. So
yeah, dude, like you had four fights in 2016, which is when you got called up to the UFC. You had one fight last year. Then, of course, all the turmoil that you went through, which is I did want to get your thoughts on it, because while you were training for that bout that you were going to have in February here in Houston, you got injured, and then the USADA thing happened where they accused you of using an illegal substance. Then later they come back and drop the charges and cleared you of all the charges. Then you get back on another fight, and it got canceled because of McGregor Mayweather. And, dude, what you have to be just, like, mentally freaking out, right?
Well, hey, I'm glad somebody's paying attention. I'm glad I'm not the only one frustrated about the situation. So thank you for paying attention because, man, feels like nobody else is. Yeah, I kind of had a rough time, you know, especially last year with the injury and then the USADA. I kind of feel like they kind of didn't clear my name because they still gave me a four-month suspension and all that. And the way the MMA Junkie kind of, like, released the statements and what had happened, that it didn't really sound very appeasing to the public from my point of view, you know what I mean? But and then, like you said, you know, getting the fight switched over, and then actually during that training camp having, you know, Hurricane Harvey come through Houston area and all that. So it was definitely a rough time. And, you know, after that fight, I was trying to take fights because that last fight was in September. I was trying to take another fight before the end of the year. UFC said they weren't going to be able to book me another fight before the end of the year. So I said, all right, since y'all want to take y'all's time, you know, I'll go ahead and drop down to 205, whatever. And now I'm I was my time frame to come back was, you know, March or April, and they hit me with this fight in July. So really right now I guess I got to be grateful that I have a fight in general. That's the way I'm looking at it, I guess.
Now I've known you, I've covered you, I think, since your very first fight with IFXA, I do believe. But you're a boxer too, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of your first love, wasn't it? Was boxing?
Oh, of course, definitely.
Now, how much, because you hear about mixed martial arts, and this is something I've always thought of, and I want to pick the brain of a guy that's a mixed martial artist, because you're a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, if I'm not mistaken, unless you got promoted since the last time I looked it up. But you came in with a boxing background. How much of using a base like that actually translates into MMA, or do you have to change the way that you strike as a striker?
Oh, you definitely got to change your way you strike if you're a pure boxer. But, you know, I've made the adaption well. But it definitely still is the basis of how I strike. You know, I still use the same angles, the balance, the punches, the counters, everything defensively. Really, the biggest transition is just the distance at which you fight at. You know, boxers usually fight at a closer distance. But in MMA, you got to, you know, kind of play with that distance because of the kicks, because of knees, because of takedowns. So it's a little bit different, but I've been doing it a long time, and I feel like I've been doing it, you know, with the best of them. So, hey, I hope it keeps working in my favor.
So your stance has changed since becoming an MMA fighter. You said the distance has changed. Are you kind of transitioning into a different type of fighting stance that kind of prepares you for an MMA fight as opposed to a boxing fight?
No, not really. I try to keep the same stance, and I try to adapt everything else. Like, I try to adapt my kicks, my shots, my takedown defense off of the current stance that I do have. Because if you try to go changing your stance, I mean, you can look around the MMA landscape now, and, you know, as far as, you know, stances go, shoot, there's so many out there, you wouldn't know which one to choose, really.
All right, so a couple things I have to ask you about, just because I think I know the answer, but I want the people to get I want them to get a little taste of the Justin Ledet that I know. So the nickname, your nickname is El Blanco.
Yeah.
All right. How'd you get the nickname?
Because, man, we really don't know what ethnicity I am. That's the funniest thing about the whole situation. It's kind of more of a joke, and because I don't know who my dad is, and I just know my mom's white. On my birth certificate, it says I'm Caucasian. But you look at me, you're like, this dude ain't Caucasian. Like, he's got to be something, you know. But we don't know what I am. I need to do one of those 23andMe's, you know what I mean? But everybody kept asking me in the gym, hey, man, what are you? I was like, man, I don't know. I'm white. My coach is like, man, yeah, rest in peace, Bobby El Jefe. But he was like, man, stop messing with him. He's Blanco. And the name kind of stuck. And every time he'd come in the gym to train me, he'd just yell out, Blanco. And that's kind of how it sucks.
That's great. And I love it because there's pictures of you in, like, rebel flag tie shorts. And you've got a dude that doesn't look white at all. And he's wearing rebel flag shorts. But his nickname is the white guy, basically. And, dude, it's just hilarious. You've really embraced that, haven't you?
Oh, of course. You know, pretty much everybody needs their gimmick. And that was kind of always my gimmick of, just being, you know, kind of brash towards the whole, I guess, color issues, as you could say, because I kind of get stuck in the middle of it. But, you know, you just got to own it and kind of go with it and make it your gimmick.
Now, you're going to Germany pretty early. I mean, is there any potential distractions? I mean, there's got to be a lot of female distractions in Germany, right?
Hey, man, when you don't have any game like me, you ain't got to worry about me. Hey, I get shot down at the bars nonstop. It don't matter if I'm telling them if I fight in the UFC, I play for the NFL. It don't matter. I get shot down, man.
It can't be it because the mullet. The mullet is amazing. It can't be because of your mullet.
Man, I think it might be. I don't know what it is, man. But, yeah, I get shot down all the time. So when you got game like mine, you ain't got to worry about females.
That's great. Hey, did you have a chance to watch the card this past weekend on Saturday?
Oh, of course, yeah, sure.
Give me your thoughts on all of it. I mean, on the whole Brock Lesnar and DC in the ring, the Ngannou-Derek Lewis fight, which I know you and Derek know each other pretty well. I mean, what were your thoughts on all this?
I thought, all in all, it was a great card, man. I thought that Paulo Acosta and Uriah Hall fight was a badass mm-hmm. fight. I thought that Gohan Stocky, that was a big upset by Roundtree. You know, there were a lot of great fights. You know, the Derek Lewis and Ngannou was a very hyped up fight. You know, it was one of those ones that wasn't the most attracting fight. But, hey, you know, Derek went in there. He got the win. I mean, people can say what they want, but you know what? They're not in there fighting with those guys who hit that hard, you know. I know a bunch of people who are talking a lot of crap on it. But, hey, you know, those guys swing hard. And I know, you know, Derek mentioned he had, you know, his back problems going on. So it just is what it is, and I thought the Cormier and the Stipe fight was a very very good fight. I thought it was crazy. I don't know if y'all saw the UFC tonight, the day before the card, but Cormier actually kind of called out how he was going to knock out Stipe, and he called it and did exactly what he said he was going to do. It was pretty amazing. I was very happy for you know, Cormier to finally kind of get that respect he deserves, kind of got that John Jones shadow off of his back, and, you know, he looked great.
Well, dude, we wish you all the best, man. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see your rise and you start to get some of these main cards that you deserve. So, Justin, thank you for joining us again, man. Best of luck to you. We'll be watching on July 22nd.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
For sure, man. That's Justin Ledet, fighter out of Alvin, fights in the Houston area. I need to get his social media. I'm going to get that at the break. That way I can give it out for you guys if you want to go follow Justin and become a fan.
That out during the break.
No. Okay. Social media stuff. I'll get it for you. I didn't do my due diligence, and that's my bad.
I'll have continue Twitter to roll stuff. On. Before we get to anything further on the big show or head to the break, I do want to tell you about the people at Infuse Energy. You know right now it is the dog days of summer here in the Houston area, and we know with temperatures going up, so are your energy bills, and the folks at the Public Utility Commission of Texas are urging people who are not currently under contract to lock in a rate, at least through the summer, to try and save some money. And these companies that normally try and get your business on energy deals, once you're locked in, they're not going to tell you when your contract expires, because after it expires, they can charge you different rates, higher prices, and get away with it till you figure out what's going on. So do yourself a favor. Check out when your contract expires. And if it does expire and you have a chance to move on, please consider the people at Infuse Energy, because it's the brand that I trust and use for all of my energy needs, simply because they stand up and do everything they said they're going to do. They're honest and upfront with me. They've saved hundreds of dollars per month off of my energy bills in the summer months since I signed up with them. You get a monthly statement and weekly statement in terms of your energy usage, how it compares to last year, how it compares to last week, last month. You get all the information you need and more. And if you ever need more than that, all you got to do is reach out on the phone, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or log on to InfuseEnergy.com. You'll get a human being, not an automated system. They'll help you, walk you through everything and anything in which they can get to make sure that you know that you can trust them at all times. They're never going to try and screw you over to make a buck, and they're always going to have your back. Start by just giving them a call to check out what they could do for your energy usage and see if you indeed can capitalize on Infuse Energy. So check them out. Pick up the phone, 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top. You get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. They ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know how they can set up the perfect program for you and your family or your business, and how they can save you money. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan that offsets your electricity usage with renewable energy credits. It also helps decrease your carbon footprint, and they go from there. So please believe me when I tell you it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, deep in hour number two of the three-hour show. As a reminder, at the top of the hour, we will simulcast on SportsMap 94.1, so that'll just enhance your listening pleasure. And, of course, it'll stay that way through the Blitz all the way up until 7 o'clock. So we appreciate when that happens and us being a part of that whole simulcast situation. Good interview. Funny parts to that.
Yeah, he's a funny dude, man. I mean, I can sit here and tell you stories about that cat all day.
Seems like he has more personality, but I didn't know him that well.
He does. And I think the more comfortable he gets doing stuff like this, the more fun he'll have. And I think that eventually the media is going to embrace this dude. But he doesn't mind if people don't like him. Like, he's okay with being a heel, so to speak. I think he's cool with it, but he obviously wants to have fans and wants the fans to like him. He's a great dude, man. I was telling you the story that he just showed up one day to a show, and I had no idea that he was going to be there. And I was like, dude, what the hell are you? He came to a comedy show. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, man, I just wanted to come support. And it's just the kind of dude he is. He's just
That's really cool.
Chill, real laid back. Yeah, nice guy, man.
I did want to mention too, in all the talk that we had been going on with the Astros, that we were talking about the positives. And the one thing that I thought was a little bit of a surprise that I was going to throw out to you guys was the whole Springer being selected thing, simply because he's obviously struggling right now and his numbers were down. But before we get to any of that and kind of talking about a good dude, what made me bring that up is last night was the George Springer bowling event that he does for kids that supports his SAY organization. And believe me, we're not associated with this at all. This is just because this is what guys, I just believe this is what you're supposed to do. This is a real good dude doing really good things. SAY is the Stuttering Association for the Young. And so last night he had his annual event after the game and everything like that. And a lot of his teammates, everybody was there to support him. But the cool thing was he gets up and speaks. And that's when the media obviously gets their sound bites. But to show you how this works, this whole program is set up to get these kids to come out of their shell and feel confident being able to speak, whether it be in the media or just to speak to their friends, their parents, their teachers. He did his interviews, and at the end of it, there was more than a handful of kids that came up and said, that's pretty cool, I want to try that. And they allowed the kids to do like mock interviews, and some of them they even put out there. And the kids, you could just see beaming from within their confidence and their smiling. It's like, that's the stuff that's not going to get the play. Everybody just wanted the sound bites from George. But that was the coolest part of the evening for me, the fact that these kids and a lot of people, God bless them for being on the internet and putting these interviews with these kids out there to show, hey, you can go see yourself and you don't look or sound bad at all. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, George is trying to do with his whole community efforts and his program. So it was great.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's good for him because, you know, he does have that opportunity to be a role model for those kids.
For sure.
I mean, You always look up to someone that you can identify with that has overcome what you're struggling with, no matter where you are in life.
Absolutely.
But kids especially in sports are sports athletes are heroes to kids, whether they want to be or not. And that's pretty cool, man. That gives a lot of kids a lot of hope.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's like, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm a professional athlete, so I'm going to support your cause. But when they can relate because he can actually give you personal experiences of what he's done and struggled with, having a stuttering problem growing up, I thought it was just very, very cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
You want to get Curtis in here?
Yeah, let's do it. Quick.
Curtis has several things on the
NBA,
list.
NBA, UFC, and throwing something. I don't know what the hell this is. Curtis, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, thanks as always for taking my call. Awesome show as usual. I got a few things to say, so I'll try to get it out as quick as I can. First, I wanted to touch on what Joel was talking about with the trash talking. I think he's bang on. I mean, you talk about guys like KG, Michael Jordan. They're the best that were, you know, everyone respected them. Back it up. They weren't the Austin Rivers sitting on the sideline talking trash while being a trash basketball player. So, and guys like KG, you hated playing against him, but you always respected him because he could back up everything he said.
Barry, I wanted to touch on what you talked about guys like getting hit in the face at the UFC. There's no one better about that than Forrest Griffin. That guy was literally the most laid-back, easygoing guy ever. He even would have come into the first round acting like that. But as soon as you punched him in the face, you literally saw that MMA switch that just flipped on, and all of a sudden he just became a killer. But he's the nicest guy that you'll ever meet. And lastly, I know everyone's giving Nick a hard time, but Barry, it was great this weekend. I appreciate everything you did, and yeah, I just got to say, Barry, you wrecked me.
Appreciate it, Curtis. Thank you for the call, as always. Yeah, he's right, though, on Forrest being a guy that is super nice. The thing about Justin, too, is if you go back and look at his stats, especially being a boxer, which can be dangerous at times, but guys like that and Forrest and these other cats, Justin's like his strikes landed to strikes absorbed is almost 1-to-1. He'll let you
stand
punch
right
him.
There in front
he'll
of
let you punch him to give himself an opportunity to punch you. A lot of guys won't do that, and that's part of why I asked the question about boxing. Is you know you don't want to necessarily get hit, but boxers sometimes will eat a jab. And to come in and be able to land their own or to set something up. And he's kind of got that mentality because he'll take a punch. He's a tough dude, so it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, thanks for all the kind words for everybody.
Yeah, appreciate that. Absolutely. By the way, the one thing I will say on KG, that's why I soured on him, especially late in his career, he was all talk.
I was just going to say. He was
the fake toughest guy. Early on in his career.
That's the reputation he has.
Yeah, with Minnesota. He was like, he had the death, you know, not only the death stare, but he wouldn't give you the time of day, even if you were best friends until after the game. But when push came to shove, literally, he was bailing till the security got between him. Look at that fight between him and Dwight late in his career. When we were like, oh God, here's the two fake toughest guys in the league. Someone's finally going to lose. And then they waited for the security guys on both ends to get involved, and no one ever touched
him. Of course. Of course that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll continue to move on, but we're going to be joined by SportsMap 94.1 in just a matter of mere minutes. So we'll take our break on time, make sure that we set the table so that we can take it home from there.
Yeah, right now, dude, you know, I've been trying to diet, and I'm going to have to unfollow Cowboys and Indians on Instagram. It's CNI713 if you want to look at all the delicious food. They posted a chicken fried chicken that looks so damn good. If I'm telling you, if you have not been out to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, but you're doing yourself a disservice. They're really easy to get to. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown, so it's not really hard. It's right there if you're around the Midtown area, easy to find. But the food is ridiculously good, and every listener, and I mean every listener that has gone to Cowboys and Indians or in the case of Pink Valkyrie, has ordered it on Uber Eats and had it delivered, has gotten back to me and said, oh my God, you made this food sound good, and it was as good as you made it sound. Guys, this place is amazing. The menu is so diverse. It's called Cowboys and Indians. It's a play. It's a fusion restaurant. It's got Southern comfort food. It's got traditional Indian food. And all of the Indian food, by the way, is delicious. And I say that because I was not a fan of Indian food. I had it like once or twice. I was skeptical about trying it again. Haas assured me I was going to like it. I tried it. I'm hooked. I love it. And it's good because it's got to be made right. And that's what Haas has done. He's taken his family recipes, perfected them right there in the Cowboys and Indian kitchen, and gives you some of the best Indian food in this city, hands down. By far, some of the best butter chicken in the city. I'll tell you that. But this chicken fried chicken looks amazing. They've got the Himalayan Heat Burger, a must-try hamburger in the city of Houston. You can also get it as sliders. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Don't forget full-service bar if you want to go in and watch a game and have a drink after work. You can do that as well. Uber Eats, DoorDash, and Grubhub. You can have it delivered to your house. Guys, remember, whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.